Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Southern California. I am Maureen Enner, your Northern California connection. And Bob Lang is our Southern California connection, and he's not, he hasn't called in yet. So we're waiting for him to, and here he is. He's always late. Hi, Bob. I was just explaining how you're always the last step in line.
Good things come to those who wait, don't they, Maureen?
Well, I don't know. But anyways, I said,
how you doing, Maureen?
Good afternoon, Southern. Well, let me finish what I was going to say. I am your Northern California connection, Maureen Enner. And take it away, Bob.
I'm Bob Lang, your Southern California connection.
And together, we're sort of connected. Today, we you know, that one little glitch we had. But we have not, we were, played a replay last week because you were in New York doing your thing. So share with us, what was going on?
Oh, I just had an absolute marvelous time. We lucked out because the weather was good because it started to snow right after we left. And it was just an amazing weekend. We saw a taping of Fast Money, which is a show that's on CNBC, right before Jim Cramer's Mad Money show. I took my dad. Guy Adami's fantastic. Everybody on the show, Tim Seymour, Dan Nathan, Melissa Lee, who hosts the show, they're all very gracious and very kind to us in hosting us at the taping.
Can I just tell you something?
Sure.
I think I posted it when I saw the photo, but that just warmed my heart so much to see your dad with Art Cashin. Oh, I just thought that was the greatest.
Well, you know, the whole story behind that, the other fellow who you saw a picture with was Kenny Polcari, and thank you to Kenny for inviting us and taking us for a nice tour of the New York Stock Exchange. My dad was a broker back in the 60s and 70s. And got his broker's license, his broker's card, in 1964. Coincidentally, the same year Art Cashin got his card. So
I remember 50, your dad what, telling us that. Wow.
52 some years ago. So they had a little bit to talk about. My dad, having gotten his card through old-time brokerage Hayden Stone, and Art Cashin through Payne Webber. He was he's still working for UBS,
mm-hmm.
which acquired Payne Webber many years ago.
And if you remember if you remember back to our Father's Day show, and we had our dads on, and it was the first time I'd ever met your dad or spoken to him, and both of us got our start at Payne Webber, which I mentioned that on the show, and then he talked about coming up with Art Cashin. Now, have they remained friends? Do they know each other, or was it just...
Well, that was the first
did
time
they know
they
each
ever
other
met,
back
but,
in the day?
No. They did not know each other. But Art, I mean, Art was very, very kind and very nice. And, you know, I'm pretty excited because he was running around the floor and doing all sorts of things. He had just gotten an interview with CNBC prior to meeting with us, so he was moving back and forth on the floor from his desk to back and forth to Station 9 where they record CNBC's desk and so forth. So, but they had a great time. They met, they got to talk a little bit about old times, and it was just really nice. My dad was he really really wanted to meet Art, and got that opportunity, and was really happy about it.
Had your father ever been down to the floor or experienced any of that? Because he's a West Coast broker, so a lot of times, you know, they don't get down to the floor.
Well, when my dad got his license and was doing some training with Hayden Stone, he was there for about 6 weeks and stayed in Brooklyn for that period of time, and he mm-hmm. would go to the exchange, take the train,
yeah,
and
so
go to the exchange every single
yeah.
day. Sure, but back in 1964, that was it. You know, that was the last time he was in New York.
Oh,
so
my gosh,
it
really?
It's been a while.
Oh, my God.
It's been a long time. And actually,
well, good
he
for
went
you.
To, Maureen, he worked not just there, but also at the American Stock Exchange, which is on the corner of Wall and Broad. And we saw that. Of course, the exchange is closed now. They were bought by the NASDAQ, and they don't trade on that American Stock Exchange anymore. But we did actually get a chance to see that.
Same thing as the Pacific Stock Exchange. I worked on the floor there, and that went out.
That's right.
When the ECN came in.
Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, it was a great, I followed your whole trip on Facebook, and I was just so touched by it. To be able to get to the age and the success that we have to take our parents, and I just thought that was very touching. So I really liked that, and the picture of your dad and Art really touched my heart, because he had told that story on our show on Father's Day, and so it just was very, very endearing to see that. You're a good guy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's one of those things where you get a chance, you get an opportunity to treat your parents and take them for a trip like that. It was really meaningful. And, my mom, how big she is. And, listen, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that, of course, part of the trip, Maureen, Johnny. Oh, yeah. She she's an enormous fan of Johnny, and she took Dad to the show Friday night at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, NJPAC, and they just had a marvelous time. My mom seen Johnny Mathis probably 300 times over her life. She's been Maureen for 55 years.
I had a friend whose mother was totally into Engelbert Humperdinck. She was just like your mom when it came to Engelbert. So good for your mom. Good, good. So today we are doing a little bit of a test run. We're going to do a 30-minute podcast and share this with our listeners. And just going to see how it goes, because when we have guests on, we have the liberty of saying we want an hour. And if it's just you and I kind of wrapping up the week, and you and I didn't do a show last week, I think this is perfect. So let's just be very mindful that we have 30 minutes today, and we have a lot to talk about. So, Bob, I just got off I just finished the radio show that I do in Nebraska every Friday. I'm on Clint Bellows Unplugged for about 40 minutes, and I was a guest on his show once, and he loves me, so I'm there every Friday. It's also on iHeartRadio, so it has national exposure. And I just got finished talking about Trump and his abortion statement. And because I have my little niece here all week for spring break, so I haven't had my ear to the news. So tell me what your take is on what Trump said about abortion.
Well, I want to take a higher level view of this, Maureen, first before I start in on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's quite wrong here is the media and has been taking and the establishment, the right wing establishment, and even the left wing establishment of the Democrats have been taking any pot shot they can at this guy, whether it's about abortion or whether it's about his, building a wall or what have you. Look, I mean, I fully believe that, this guy has really, and everybody admits it, he's tapped into the anger of America right now, because everybody is completely disgusted with Washington, with people in Washington right now. I know your son works there. I'm sure he probably has his own opinion about what's going on, and I can't imagine it's extremely positive, but I think it doesn't really much matter what the statement is or what the issue is. Everybody seems to feel that this guy is going to fall flat on his face. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't. And, the American people just don't seem to believe that he's going to screw up, even if he makes foolish statements as he did with this whole abortion thing.
Can you tell me? I did not hear it. I didn't read it.
Okay.
The co-host that I was working with, in Nebraska, he filled me in. So I kind of got I know what's going on, but I want to hear what you took from it, because this is one of the situations where you can have 5,000 people listen to the same speech and everybody's going to take something away from it. That's just the way it is. There's going to be one thing that hangs, one thing that bugs them. Tell me what he said, what the media is doing to make it worse, and tell me what you feel about it.
Okay, simply put, what he said, Chris Matthews came to him and said, if abortion were illegal, what would you propose? And he said, basically, under no uncertain terms, that there has to be some sort of punishment. But the sound bites that you've been hearing a lot in the media, taking out the part of the question where Chris Matthews asked if it was illegal. So that's a big difference.
Well, I mean, the media is making it sound like, he's out there putting these women who have had an abortion on death row. I mean, you would think that, he's going to create these Nazi criminal camps for women that had an abortion, when all he said was he thinks the women should be punished.
Correct. And the punish, and then the doctors also, look, here's the thing, Maureen. Abortion is the law of the land. Period. End of story.
Right.
And all he's giving is his point of view of what his opinion of the law should be. He is in no, even if he becomes the president someday, he is in no position by himself to overturn that law. Look, I mean, that's correct. I believe that President Obama has some opposing views to some laws that are on the books today. He by himself is in no position to overturn those laws, period. And, Ronald Reagan, for 8 years, was staunch against abortion, and he tried really, really hard to have that thrown back into the Supreme Court and have it overturned. It never happened. He had a diametrically opposed view to abortion, very much pro-life. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do about it? People voted for him anyway because, he's got this point of view. It is what it is, but they figure that, okay, well, all the other things that he's going to help the country on are fine. So they've been trying to shoot this guy down every chance they get. And mind you, I don't particularly agree with a lot of the things that he says, some of his statements and so forth, and I know you don't.
But that's what America
you're probably,
is about. That is what, our,
exactly,
that is what
exactly
we are
right.
about.
That's
we
exactly
are about
right.
being able to say, I don't really like your policies. I'm going to go this way or I'm going to go that way. And now all of a sudden, it is a crime if you are a Donald Trump supporter. I mean, you are an absolute sitting duck for crazy people.
I totally agree, and this guy unfortunately is gonna get destroyed by people who are against him and saying a lot of falsehoods about who he is and
what do you,
the sort of
okay,
things that
wait
he
a minute,
for.
Wait a minute, Bob. What do you mean he's gonna pay the price?
No, he's
what do you mean
destroyed by the media. He's completely been getting destroyed. Donald Trump has been getting destroyed by the media, by a lot of falsehoods and a lot of things that people.
That's been since day one.
Absolutely, and the man is still standing, and I'm shocked, I'm stunned, and shocked. The man is still standing and winning. It says a lot about him, doesn't it?
It doesn't say a lot about him. It says a lot about the American people. And it's just he can't do it without people following him or being interested in him, right? So it's not about him. It's about what he has shown. He's woken up the silent majority, and that's exactly what I believe. But no matter how hard they try, no matter what kind of a brick they take to his head or whatever, it doesn't change anything. And that's a perfect example of if you're a liberal Democrat, you're a liberal Democrat. If you're a conservative Republican, you are. There's no changing anybody's mind, right? You're not going to change. He's not going to change the mind of all these young kids that are drooling over Bernie Sanders. He's not going to change their mind. So
funny you should say that, because my daughter, of course, she's not voting yet, but she goes to a school with a lot of liberal-minded people, and she's shaping her views and so forth. And she's not a fan of anybody, Maureen, but she's listening and carefully about different people and different candidates. She listens to me in my views, and she listens to other places. And she's trying to shape her own viewpoint around that stuff. And she tries to present the argument of what an advantage of a Bernie Sanders presidency would be, for instance. And, you know, we talk about all the candidates, what it would look like for everybody. So she gets
right.
a very
but
fair
But you know what? Once again, Bob, you're the minority of parents.
Mm. Yeah.
Because this is another thing we just talked about on iHeartRadio. This country was founded on, they came over here, they didn't like, you know, all of the rules that England had in place. They came over here, they wrote the Constitution, wrote the Declaration of Independence, and they intended for the United States to have the highest educated people in the world, to provide the best education, and to always make sure that the average citizen understood what was going on in D.C., in politics. Because they created a government that was transparent, where they came from a government that was not. So we have I don't know how many bucketfuls of people who don't even know who Joe Biden is.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, it's funny how you say about transparency is that I read an article over earlier in the week, Maureen, that said that this is the most secretive administration we've ever had.
Oh, absolutely.
Does that surprise you?
Does that shock you?
No, not at all. But you know, here we have a we're subject to an imperial president who does whatever he wishes. He's the most imperial president we've had since Richard Nixon, who was also the same sort of thing. You know, different ideologies.
So we do only have 30 minutes. We could go on and on about this, but again, you and I agree that Trump has not, is not, and most likely will not be treated fairly by the media. Do we agree on that,
correct.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we both like a lot of what Trump says. You know, he says things that we agree with. He says things that, you know, are kind of, you know, but I don't know. He's not a professional politician. He's not using a whatever the screen, you know, Obama couldn't say a speech without his teleprompter. I mean, he's really kind of just talking from his, you know, just
from his stomach. He shoots from the hip, right? Every single time. And,
mm-hmm.
and he's a gunslinger out there. Nobody likes gunslingers. Everybody likes people to fall in line, say exactly what they're supposed to say. Well, you tell me, what is it that they're supposed to say? Right?
Exactly. Are we going to create a new police department that's nationwide that's called the PC police that, you know, you can't go around saying what you believe in? Now, I just had a caller from Nebraska call in. He's a liberal. And he was saying how proud he is to have his Hillary bumper stickers and all this. And I said, well, that's nice. But I said, if I put a Trump bumper sticker on my car, which I never would, but I mean, just because I wouldn't put one on my car. But and if I had lawn signs and I was wearing a Trump T-shirt, I would be a target. Somebody would come after me. That's how crazy the other side is. So, more power to you in Nebraska. Go put your Hillary stuff everywhere. But you need to realize your side is the one who would come after me because I supported Trump.
And that's unfair.
So I have another,
because you're not gonna scrutinize or crucify anybody else for their opinion. It's a free country, right? You're supposed to be able to.
Say whatever you wish. Yeah, and be safe and not be worried that, you know, a car bomb is going to go off because we have a Trump bumper sticker. And another thing this guy said, he's like, well, you support Trump. I know you're – and I said, wait a minute. I said, I have never come out and said I support Trump. I talk about him. I talk about him positively. I like things he's saying. I might have said, you know, I think it would be a Trump Kasich ticket. He's like, well, I listen to your radio show. I listen to your one in California. I listen to this one. You're always – I said, but you have never, sir, you have never heard me say, I am going to vote for Donald Trump. I have only reported on him.
Big difference. Huge difference.
Yeah, well, see, that's the liberal mind. They only want to see one way. So I have another thing about Trump, and then we'll move on. But this is really, this really disturbs me. So you know the whole situation with the Breitbart reporter that was supposedly shoved, yanked, you know, ripped apart by his campaign manager.
Right.
So
Corey Lewandowski.
Yeah. So they just now filed criminal charges against this man for assault. Now, this bothers me on many levels, but April is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So I start today, and I will be doing a lot of events and speaking and helping out with organizations. I am just so offended that they got some judge and some lawyer or something that he had charges filed against him. I was beaten and assaulted, and my attacker never saw the inside of a police station, a jail cell. He was never arrested. And me, on a personal level, I'm really mad about that, because you want to see somebody who has been assaulted, I'll take you and show you some people. I mean, if that is just not an absolute miscarriage of justice, I don't know.
I think it's disgusting that that this Breitbart, who is clearly a liberal rag, nobody reads it.
Well, they're not. Breitbart is not liberal. They're conservative.
I think they're veiled. I think they've conjured up more attacks against Donald Trump and some of those some of the other Republicans than anybody else. So they throw soft pieces against for Hillary Clinton. So
You know this would never happen in a Hillary camp or the Bernie camp.
No,
it would never.
No, absolutely not.
Exactly. So they're trying to be. So for me, who was assaulted. And for all the other women out there who have been or will be, this little pain in the butt, Breitbart girl, is ruining the word assault for people like me and other victims who have truly been assaulted.
Yeah. Call it for what it really is. I mean, she was shoved. That was it. That wasn't an assault.
Do you remember when we were on the floor at the GOP debate at Reagan Library, the mass craziness of trying to get in to interview a candidate? I mean, it was massive hysteria. So,
you know, I had to punch out five people so you can get in there with your microphone to interview Ben Carson. Remember?
Oh yeah.
We got that. Wonderful picture behind John Kasich, and we had to shove all those people out of the way. Remember?
Oh God, yeah. I have no problem making my way towards something, but that just really bothers me. I think I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that cause up this week for my cause. But anyways, so spring break. Is your daughter? Are both kids out for spring break?
Ben was out a week and a half ago. My daughter Becky is on vacation now. She's in. She's at a thespian festival this weekend with her acting troupe.
Oh, good for her. She does great work. I love watching her do that stuff. But, okay, so spring break, if you can, Bob, 4 minutes left to the show. Best spring break you ever had?
Best spring break I've ever had was when I was at San Diego State. I was going to school down there. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, we'd go to San Felipe, which was in Baja, California, which is on the east side, which is facing the Gulf of Mexico. And we just had I used to go down there with all my friends. We just had an absolute blast down there. And we went there a couple years in a row. You know, it's about 4.5-5 hours from San Diego, and just had a marvelous time down there. And it was nice and warm. We'd go in the water and have food and drink, and just had an incredible time. While I was down there in San Diego. How about you?
Well, I'm going to, I had, oh my gosh, this is my famous story. It was like 19. We were, we went to Palm Springs. Palm Springs used to be the big place to go to spring break, but then they outlawed it because so much went wrong. But I meet this cute guy in a Porsche. Who, God, I don't know how old he was. He had a surfboard. He's like, hey, come to Mexico with me. I'm like, all right. So I just get in his car, take off, leave my girlfriend. They're like, you know, that's what we did, I guess, back then. I don't know, no cell phones, nothing. Well, when we came over the border, I had my ID, like, fixed to make me look older. So I'm coming clean here. And they asked for my driver's license, and I said, I don't have it. And they detained me. He took off. This guy leaves me. He's like, okay, I got to go. Bye. And I had to call my dad, and my dad told them, leave her. He said, keep her there. Leave her there. That is
really
the federales, you know, they called. I went into this little office, and I called. I mean, I wasn't even supposed to be in San Jose. I think we even snuck and, you know, went to Palm Springs when we weren't supposed to. And, my dad, they called and said, we have your daughter. She has no ID. And he goes, you know what? Leave her there. And he did for a good 8 hours. I sat there, panicked. And then
you,
he, you know. But that was my lesson. That is why we have a generation called the millennials who are lazy, overweight, sloppy. They don't want to do anything. They, you know, because they didn't have a dad that said, you know, you stay, I'm getting her. You leave her there. So, you know, I never did that again, right?
No, absolutely. But, you know,
I mean, that was the kind of parenting we grew up with.
And those are the kind of stories you can share with your kids, and hopefully they'll learn from that and they won't make those same mistakes as you did. So you're hopeful.
Who knows? Yeah, I have no idea what they've done on spring break. You know, who knows? But anyway, I just thought that was funny because it is spring break. It has just turned into such a phenomenal event. You know, spring break is just such a huge business right now. I mean, oh my goodness.
Oh, lots of money. Well, it's in Panama City, Florida. It's like one of the biggest destinations around. But before we, hey Maureen, before we finish up, I just want to tease everybody. You know, we're coming up on our 1-year anniversary. Can you believe it?
I know. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes.
So we have to have. I think we're planning to do something really special for the audience for our 1-year anniversary. So just everybody, stay tuned for that. We're going to have a lot of fun with that in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we'll have a great time looking back. Hopefully we'll have some of our former guests either call in, or maybe we can get a tape of, they can record something for us. And yeah, we'll put together a great, great anniversary show. So on that note, we are ready to go. Bob, this was great. I love doing the little 30-minute. Let's get caught up. And fans, all of our listeners, when we have guests, we will obviously go at the full hour. But we just wanted to come on, talk a little bit about Trump, spring break, and tell everybody we're here. And we're glad to be back. I'm glad you're back from New York, Bob. I'm glad it was safe. And I'm glad to have my partner back. So everybody catch us next Friday at 4 o'clock. And we really don't know who's coming on, but I think I have a pretty good idea.
Thanks, Maureen. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week, next Friday.